You have a copy of the scriptures. Turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. And we will begin here this morning with a brief word as we launch into the conference. We're going to look at chapter 10, verse 39, just briefly. By the way, this is the scripture reference that you'll find in the Baptist Catechism, question 91, concerning saving faith. A couple weeks ago, the steering committee, through a Zoom conference, we were talking who was going to give the devotion. And so it ended up being me. So I just looked at the catechism question on saving faith and said, I'll pick that verse right there. But let me say this. Throughout the day, let me begin with this exhortation. Throughout the day, you will hear the doctrine contained in chapter 14 of the Second Lenten of saving faith. And you will hear an exposition of Scripture concerning that doctrine, that teaching. And I want to charge you, encourage you, exhort you now that as you hear the promises of God, the truth of the Scriptures, that you would lean in, you would cry out to God, that He would give you ears to hear. And that God by His Spirit would cause you to hear His truth, and you would embrace it for what it is, the truth of God. And not only would you hear it, you would believe it, but you would trust it for the saving of your soul. Especially the truths concerning the excellencies of Christ and His glorious gospel. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 39, we have these words, "But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul." There are warnings, as many of you know, there are warning passages scattered throughout the book of Hebrews that speak of hearing the truth, and then it will begin to use language, warnings, the danger of drifting away, hardening your heart, or having an evil heart of unbelief, or coming short, or it will actually just use the word, like we get the concept apostasy from, to fall away. And here in verse 39 we have the language draw back or to shrink back. In chapters 3 and 4 of this book, we learn that the Old Testament Hebrew people could not enter the land of Canaan because of unbelief. They did not believe. And God judged them in the wilderness. In the third chapter, we find, beginning of verse 16, "For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now, with whom he was angry 40 years, was it not with those who sinned, whose corpse fell in the wilderness? To whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey?" And then it says, "So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief." Calvin, commenting on this verse, says, quote, "Therefore, as many chastisements of God, as we read, were inflicted on the ancient people, so many grievous sins shall we find which provoked God's vengeance. At the same time, we must come to this conclusion that unbelief," you hear this? "That unbelief was the chief of all their evils. Again, in chapter 4 of Hebrews, we find, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well to them. To them, the Hebrew people that came out of Egypt. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. So the gospel that was proclaimed to them, and in that case through types and shadows, and the promises that would be fulfilled in Christ, it was rejected. It was not received by faith, and therefore it led to their perdition, their destruction. Again, back in our original text in verse 39 of chapter 10, but we, notice how he contrasts, but we are not of those who draw back to perdition, including himself. We are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Though there is the real danger of hearing the truth of Christ and not receiving it by faith, the writer of Hebrews expects and believes better things of the recipients of this letter. We see that over in chapter 6, verse 9. He does not believe that they will fall away from the things that they have been taught. The writer believes that they give evidence of God's gracious work in their hearts. He believes that there are those who believe to the saving of their soul. But there is the danger of hearing and it not being mixed with faith. There is the danger that he speaks of in verse 39 of drawing back, shrinking back, and its end leading to destruction. But our hope today is that all that are with us, that we would believe, we would be of those that believe to the saving of our souls. Again, the writer of Hebrews believes that the recipients of this message are not those who would draw back, but those of saving faith, that they are genuine believers that have experienced the work of grace and are truly the heirs of salvation. Again, the faith that he speaks is that which is in Christ. With the coming of Jesus Christ, God had brought the old covenant to fulfillment in the person of Christ. We see that in chapter 1. When there is sprinkled throughout the book, again, it's a better covenant with better promises because of Christ. You see this especially in chapter 7, verse 22, chapter 8, verse 6. But then our friend, who looks much like Gil, who looks much like Keach on the back of your bulletin, Gil, our brother John Gil, speaks of and comments concerning this statement about true believers that do not and cannot, he says, draw back in any sense. And if we were to ask Gil, how can that be? How can it be that these true believers do not and cannot draw back in any sense? And he says this. These are wonderful words. He says they do not because they are held fast in the arms and with the cords of everlasting love. They do not because they are chosen of God unto salvation. They are given unto Christ and secured in Him. They are redeemed and purchased by Him. They are united to Him and built upon Him. They are interested in His prayers and preparations. They are His jewels and His portion. They are regenerated, sanctified, and inhabited, and sealed by the Spirit of God, and have the promises and power of God on their side. When I read that comment, I couldn't help but think of Peter, when Peter would say in 1 Peter 1:5, speaking of believers, as those who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation. And again, one more comment from Gil, because it was so good what he had to say concerning this passage. And speaking of on this saving faith, he says this: of that faith, which is the faith of God's elect, it is the gift of God and the operation of His Spirit, by which a soul sees Christ, goes to Him, lays hold to Him, commits all to Him, and expects all from Him. And then he says, and this stands opposed to drawing back in Christ. So again, this morning and throughout the day, we will hear, we will launch into chapter 14 of the Second London of Saving Faith. And I would challenge you to listen closely, to take in the information, and that by the working of the Spirit of God, that which you hear, you would believe is true, and you would lean into it, into the promises of Christ, and not reject them, but receive them, believing and resting upon Christ alone for the salvation of your souls, as He is found in the gospel. In Him is life, not perdition, not destruction, but eternal life.